So we left off yesterday having concluded the Gemara at the end of Daf on the Hamad Aleph. And the Gemara had said, Ela Svarim. So it had tried to learn, Birchas Hanenin before, Ketzin Mevarchan Ala Peros, from the Drush of Kodesh Yilum Lashem. And the problem is it falls short. It falls short because you can't learn Peros HaIlan according to the Man HaAmar Kerem Revai. You can't, except for maybe Shivas HaNim. You can't learn vegetables probably for either opinion. You can't learn meat and fish and eggs for either opinion. So at the end of the day, the Limud falls short and the Gemara says it's a Svar. So, as we mentioned yesterday, does that mean that everything we've said until now, other than the fact that we got some good bakiyas, that means it's all done? It's meaningless? So I said yesterday, the word Ella usually means scratch that, and now we're moving on to plan B. Now, most Rishonim, I think, do understand this way. I have only heard Rabbi Nochanal, I hadn't read Rabbi Nochanal. Rabbi Nochanal has a rather unique shita here. It's not entitled to Rabbeinu Hananel Shita. Some of you will have in the Gemara. I think the Ozahar the Gemara doesn't have it. I don't have it in mind, but there's a separate value of this. If you're interested in seeing it, I have it from my Shrender, so if you occasionally want to stand there and peruse Rabbeinu Hananel, you're welcome to do so. If I'm not standing there. So Rabbeinu Hananel understands, he understands that the Nasan of the Gemara doesn't reject everything that came before. In fact, it doesn't reject anything that came before. Let me ask you the following question. Our problem is we know the conclusion. We know you have to make a bracha on all foods. But let me ask the following question. You make a bracha achrona on foods. Is a bracha achrona d'oraisa?
Depends
what food. So how about a bracha rishona? Maybe a bracha rishona could be d'oraisa on some foods and rabbanan on other foods. Why not? Why is bracha on bread afterwards luchu le'alma d'oraisa? Eretz Asher lo v'miskin r'sol chavalach am v'echal tavasavat v'erecho. Why should the Saminim, according to some opinions, have a bracha chon adaraisa? Eretz Tzivah v'sarah, and then 2 seconds later, v'echal tavasavat v'erecho. So who's to say that a bracha rishona can't sometimes be daraisa? It'd be a perfect analogy, right? If you hold like the Rashba and many of the Donim, that should the Saminim have a bracha chon adaraisa, so for both man to amam, you can learn bracha rishona daraisa from the Shiva Saminim. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah.
Did the Amoraim not know which mitzvot were d'oraisa and d'rabbanan?
It's an issue they sometimes grappled with. They definitely had ideas. Sometimes there's a machlokas. Sometimes the Gemara will come to a son of a sugya, and one Amor will say, no, Ela cross nachta ba'am, midrabbanan cross nachta ba'am. But the Gemara's havamina was d'oraisa. I think that the stark difference between d'oraisa and d'rabbanan is something that gets starker over time. In a minimum, because there are a lot of drashas that you can see, for example, this year, it's coming up in 2.5 weeks. So, 2.5 weeks, Rosh Hashanah, first day. You going to blow the shofar? Why not? So what? What's that? So a koch hayavim mitkiya shofar, ve'en akol mitkiya mitkiya shofar, zera, shema yavi renu arba amas v'shir sarav. Very nice. V'chein v'lulav, v'chein v'migela. That's not how the Bavli starts out, assuming why you might not have shofar on Shabbos, and it doesn't appear to be what the Yerushalmi assumes. The Bavli quotes initially a drasha. The drasha was, one place it says, yom tzura yelachem. That would be, I think, in the Musaf, in Pinchas. And then, in Parshas Hamor, the Sinai Mor, it says, Zichron Tura Mikra Kodesh. Is it Yom Tura? What is Zichron Tura? Now, what Pshat is, there may not be any difference. But they say, Kan Tishachol Vios Bishabbos, Kan Tishachol Vios Bichol. When it comes out on Shabbos, it's Zichron Tura. You just kind of remember. You remind yourself that you blow Shofar. When it comes out, during the week, it's Yom Tura, it's the day when they actually blow Shofar. So the Bavli turns around and just says, come on, you can't, Kfiya Shofar is not a malacha. They say that, Yatsisa Rabiya Safasa Kfiya Shofar Shahim Chachman in malacha. It can't be the Raisa. So the Bavli quotes the Zerah Rab. It doesn't appear to be the Maskan of the Yerushalmi. This is not the only place where you have such a thing, right? There seems to be, Yonatan, a kind of a liminal state here where things are not, quite as stark. I think over time, the difference exists, but I think that over time, the difference gets, you know, much more rigidly codified. There is a Ritva, I believe it's in Rosh Hashanah, who claims that Asmachta is more than a Din Rabbanan. You can find this in language we've shown them sometimes, where it's kind of should have been, it's a quasi-deraisa that the Torah didn't want to be Samachri on us, but it's the idea of, like, the Torah really wants us to do this, as opposed to the Rabbanans, which the Torah may want us to do only because we're supposed to listen to the Rabbanan, but not because it's a specific item. So even that itself points to this kind of liminal state between the Deraisas and the Rabbanans. Okay. So we have to allow the possibility that Bracha Rishona could in fact be Deraisa, which seems to be exactly what Rabbeinu Hananel holds. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel's position, which is being collected from citations, I'm pretty sure we don't have a manuscript prepared for Rabbeinu Hananel. It's just citations from other Rishonim. That's how the Otsar of the Onim works also. Yeah.
They're also comparing practice, but we don't have
that. Okay. So, Rabbeinu Hananel's position in scope is not entirely clear, but it is clear that he thinks that brachos on Shiva Saminim according to the Manda Amar Karamavai and brachos on all fruits according to the Manda Amar Netaravai is the Raisa. How do you know? Because it's learned from the Pesukim. Oh, but the Gemara had a Pircha. Yeah, the Gemara's Pircha was that you couldn't learn all Peros from it. But it's not that. The Gemara never said, once the Gemara solved the problem of the multiple Chilulims, right? You need it for this, you need it for that. Once the Gemara says, finally, okay, you might have a Chilulim free for a Chilulim free to teach you the Bracha. So the Gemara never says that you can't learn from it, it's just that you can't learn everything from it. So maybe some brachas at least are deraisa. Okay, so let's hold Rabbeinu Hananel for the moment, because it's not clear what Rabbeinu Hananel holds by other foods. The foods that cannot be learned from Ravai, it's not clear, or from the Shiva Saminim. And Rabbeinu Hananel, by the way, I kind of, in my own mind, elided something when I said yesterday that Kal V'Chomer is not really a Kal V'Chomer. Not everybody agrees to that. I kind of just conflated two things. Why is a Kal V'Chomer not I don't want to know Misvara. Textually, because that's what the Rishonim point at, the Rishonim don't attack the Kal V'Chomer on Svara grounds. I want to attack it on Svara grounds. Many of you wanted to question Svara grounds, but there are two textual points which they attack it on.
There's evidence also that it's Durva.
Okay, so the first...
It's sort of distinct from...
Correct. On the assumption is that if brachos have to, bracha Rishona has to be the Rabbanon, therefore the Kal V'Chomer has to collapse. Because you can't deny that bracha on Lechem afterwards is the Raisa. You can deny, the Rambam does, and maybe the Balai Tosfos do, that bracha Bein Shalosh is the Raisa. The many Gaonim and many Rishonim held that bracha Bein Shalosh is the Raisa. So it's kind of hard to deny the bracha Chorna part, but saying bracha Rishona is only the Rabbanon, most Rishonim assume, is in fact the Maskana. But how can that be if you have a pasuk for bracha Chorna and then you have a Kal V'Chomer? So the answer is the Kal V'Chomer must be wrong. So Tosfos and the Rashba just say the Kal V'Chomer is not really the Kal V'Chomer. It's not the Svara of the Kal V'Chomer they rejected, it's because we know that bracha Sanenin only is Rabbanon, so obviously the Kal V'Chomer is not a good Kal V'Chomer. We don't know why, they don't talk about why. Yes?
Where do they know that Pircha Rishona is the Rabbanon from?
Because the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amid Bei says that Valkari is Mevarech Achav, not Mevarech. That's how they know. That's the primary driver. You might also read the Maskana of the Sugi that way. It's a pretty obvious Maskana, not a compelling Maskana, but an obvious one. Now, the Ritva is the one, and I just assumed the Ritva, and I wasn't, even I looked at the Gemara, I didn't look back at it carefully. The Ritva is the one who explains why the Kal V'Chomer is no good, based upon the Gemara's Pircha on the Kal V'Chomer earlier, but it's not on this Kal V'Chomer. It's not on Kishuhu Saveya Mevarech Kishuhel V'Kol Shekein. It's on the Gemara that I gave you to look at, which is Bracha Rishpeh. The Gemara tried to make a limud. We'll read it in a few minutes. The Gemara tried to make a limud from Birchas HaTorah, where, according to the Gemara, Birchas HaTorah is Midaraisa before, and Birchas HaMazon is Midaraisa afterwards. Both of those have a pasuk. The Gemara wanted to make a two directional Kal V'Chomer, which is impossible, meaning only one of them can work, I believe. Right? When the Gemara, I assume some of you were bothered by that.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, both Kal V'Chomers are predicated on the assumption that there's a preference for, there's a greater propensity, a tendency to have a bracha either before or bracha afterwards. So when you want to learn Birchas HaTorah from Birchas HaMazon, you're saying there's a greater propensity to have a bracha afterwards. So if Birchas HaMazon, which doesn't have a bracha before, has one afterwards, so Birchas HaTorah, which has one before, certainly has one afterwards. You can't turn around and make a kal v'chomer on the basis of that propensity and say, turn it the other way. Right? That Gemara is obviously a derech hasnap because the Gemara in the end rejects it. It says it's just wrong. But now, why does the Gemara reject bracha lefnei mazon being d'oraisa? Two reasons. Before. What? Why does it reject the kal v'chomer? Two reasons.
One of them is
well, it says because ma lebrichas hamazon shetein men. So the hanah means, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Whereas brichas haTorah, there's no bodily hanah. And what's the other reason they reject that kal v'chomer? It's not a rejection of the svar of the kal v'chomer. It's just you know it's wrong. The Mishnah, right? They quote, and then they say, in addition, so that's just a prayer on the kal v'chomer. The reason why it's a tshuva is because they quote the Mishnah, which shows you that bracha rishona before bread is only rabbanan. So obviously, tshuva, whatever svar you want to say in the kal v'chomer, whether you think it's a good prayer or not, it's wrong because the Mishnah says it's wrong. In the same way that Tosfos and the Rashba say the maskana of the Gemara has to be is that the kal v'chomer is no good because we know bracha shalem is only rabbanan because of the Mishnah. Avram. All the Tilas Adan and Rabbanan. Well, that is the next halacha shir. We're going to start to, we'll probably get to start to talk about that. That's what's next. Hochas and Tilas Adan. Go to Tilas Adan, Betzia Sapas, you know, Tzuda, Berchas Hamazon, and then eventually we get to Berchas Hanen. Okay. So, but Rabbeinu Hanano says that the kal v'chomer is correct. It says the same halacha. At least as we have him quoted. So for Rabbeinu Hanana, once you have limudim, that you have sukkim, that teach you bracha after food, you now have a bracha before food, that's ben atorah, it's learned from the kal v'chomer. So the only question for Rabbeinu Hanana is the scope. The Gemara says svara. So is the svara the raisa? Is it not the raisa? Does the svara covers meat and eggs and vegetables and apples for the manda amar karamer, manda tani karamera? Right, apples and oranges, any other that's any of them. But the question is that the rice or not? So now let's come back to our, let's put Rabbeinu Hanan on the side, and let's come back to our discussion. Rashi writes, can I get a volunteer to read? Who hasn't read yet? Boaz? First start with Rashi. Elas Varahu. So Rashi, according to Rashi, did the Gemara reject the limud from the pasuk? No, he doesn't reject it, and he doesn't say that we hold by it. He doesn't. It's not clear. Look in Tosfos for a second. You're going to come look at Tosfos. Ella, sorry, the bottom Tosfos. Okay. So Tosfos is very clear that the drasha is not a real drasha. Yeah. Now, although the Pnei Yeshua will claim it's not clear that Tosfos rejects it being the raisa, but he certainly rejects the drasha. Now, why is it hard to simply dismiss the drasha out of hand, ultimately? Look, the drasha, by the way, smells like an asmach. Make no mistake about that. It has the smell. If you learned enough Gemara, enough of Chazal, it smells like an asmachta. But why is it hard to dismiss an asmachta? Correct. So I want to just point out, just like a sidebar, this is found not just at Braisa and the Babli, it's a Medrash Halacha in the Torah Tana, which is a Tanaitic work, and now, here's the catch. The rub is, let me take a famous example. High school students must love to talk about this. Ish isha kosh erbisara lo sik rehu legalo serva. The Sifra says that you're loka on kreva. That what is colloquially called as negia, which is a terrible term, lo sik rehu l'chayim al. The Rambam says it's the raisi council in the minyan mitzvah and shin and gimel. The Ramban in Hasagas, the Sefer Mitzvos, disagrees. First, he starts. Nobody knows. Almost nobody knows this part. First, he starts by thinking maybe it's a Hatzishir of Bia. It's really an amazing Ramban. And then he says, in the end, he says it's an Asmachta, because there are a lot of drushes in the Sefer that are an Asmachta. So, it's not impossible that a brisa that's found in the Sefer is an Asmachta. But that's the first thing. It's not just the Bavli quoted in Russia, it's actually a brisa, it's actually a passage in the Medrash Halacha. And secondly, and it's accepted there, right? Again, they don't tend to comment on those things. They don't ask all the questions, well, how do you learn, and which fruits, and so on. And then you have a long shot of Pali here, which again, sometimes is rejected in the Bavli. The question is, really does it make sense to truly reject it? So look at the Pnei Yeshua. Go ahead. And with so that is the general consensus of Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chanan, notwithstanding, that all brachos that you make are on food are derabanan, except for brachos samazon and maybe the brach achas main shalosh. But, Bori Nefashos, and all brachos Rishonos, are all the Rabbanon. That's what we're seeing. So he says, L'fiyam Eish Raiti. L'fiyam
Eish Raiti, L'chora Yishit Tzmoa, D'cha V'chol Ashat, Matma Dini, D'asya, Nisvara Av, Nidoraisa, D'adar Av Matya Ashat, Halama Likra, Svara
Av. Right? It sounds in many places that with something as a Svara, you don't need a pasuk for it. And that's obviously, you can't, if you say, Kralama li svarahu. Well, if svarah were not the raisa, then I'll tell you why. Kralama li. Kralama li, because you want to make it the raisa. So he's surprised by that. So he says,
The MS,
you can't prove from that last tosis where he says it's asmachta that it's only drabana.
The efsha.
Yeah, Tosis is just saying that if the pasuk's not snafta, not because of dinis rabbana, but because you don't need the pasuk that is in, because it's a svar. It's possible. You can't say that's what Tosis holds, but he could hold that. Miu nira. But what's bothering him? Jake? And if? Correct. We don't always say Safi Brachas Lacha. You know when we say Safi Brachas Lachmir? You're not sure if you benched. You have to bench. In fact, some Rishonim, Tosis, will probably talk about this in a few days, points this out. Tosis says, on Birchas Hanenim, if you're not sure if you made a bracha, you have to make another bracha. I'm pretty sure we don't pass them that way in Shulchan Aruch, but we'll find out eventually. Why? So that's an interesting question. Is it because it's Deraisa or because it's Gezel? It is Nisr involved, and therefore you can't get away with it. Well, but the point is, we normally say, Safai Brachas Lahakel, why if Birchas Hanenim with Deraisa? So the answer is, because it's not a pasuk, it's not a gzeiros hakasuk, it's a svara. Once it's a svara, there might be a countervailing svara. On the one hand, it's not appropriate, it's a lack of derech eretz to benefit from the world without thanking or taking permission from God first, however you want to formulate it. And also not appropriate to be maskir shem shemayin vatala. So if the reason why you're not making a bracha rishona is because you don't want to be maskir shem shemayin vatala, that's reasonable. It should override. That's a better svara than the svara of asur la'adam l'tom, you know, klum achi yivari. And he similarly says, because remember, what is the big proof text? What is the major proof text that Berachas Hanen is only Drabanan, as we just said?
Al-Kari.
So what do you do with that mishnah? Because if that's the question, that's in the foreground. So he says, my high time agufa. The only reason why you have to make a bracha of hamotzi before is because of Sara and Vahu. So, and if you are with refraining from making the bracha because That's also Kavan Hashem, so then that can override the Svara. Now, Birchas HaMazon is different. Birchas HaMazon is a pasuk. It's a chiyuv of the Raisa. You can say all the Svaras in the world, why you think the mitzvah exists, but the mitzvah is a mitzvah and you have to do it anyway, even if you have a different Svara. But if Birchas HaNenen only exists in the Raisa because of the Svara, then it can override other Svaras as well. So let's finish the line in the Pnei Yeshua. No, the Al-Mazal Mubarak Nil Acharav in Cain.
In Cain, in an Adam, in the element of Lurava. The Cain here leaves a dying third to Ian, the Ian of Ben-Zachar.
That's a really, really interesting line. I think it gets buried. I don't see this being really discussed.
Really admitting defeat, man.
No. But it's a fascinating line. What does he say? You're not being in an Al-Mazal Mubarak Nil Acharav.
Is he saying
Bracha? Saying Bracha from afterwards. Let me ask you a question. I haven't been there in ages, okay? Or you go to the calf. I haven't been really to the calf. Purchase food, I don't know. Maybe decades, okay? Or the pizza store. Is the Como pizza store still there?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to the pizza store, and you purchase food, and you eat. When do you pay for the food? You pay at the counter, you pay for the meat. You go to a restaurant. When do you pay for the food?
Usually after you eat.
So you see that sometimes you can pay before, sometimes you can pay afterwards. Right? In the context of professional restaurant, and here I hope you've all by now watched that little 11-second YouTube clip, right?
Sorry.
It's one of the greatest lines ever.
Rabbeinu
Baruch Shimshon. So, yes, it's the greatest lines ever. That's how you do it. That's how you get it off. If I ever quoted it by name, I quoted this in a Sichas Musa. If I ever quoted it again by name in the Mishnah, I would say Rabbeinu Baruch Shimshon, and a few people would just probably fall on the floor laughing. That's what you got to do. Someone apparently, and told the story in Eretz Yisrael, they introduced the tune for Shira Malas, which was, it was a Simon and Garfunkel tune. And so the Rosh Hashiva asked, whose tune was that? He said, Shimon and Garfunkel. That's all. It was fine. So the point is, you pay for this food, so now you don't have to say thank you anymore, right? Dear God, we pay for this food, so thanks for nothing. Such a irreverent classic line. But that's Yushami. Yushami essentially says that. Once you make the bracha, that's your payment. It's yours. It doesn't belong to God anymore. So the point is, the Pnei Yeshua is really an interesting comment. You're not being in an below bracha. You're just saying thank you. You're just making the bracha afterwards.
Only the father's signature to undercut the star itself.
What's that? Correct. That is correct. That is correct.
Not only for pots, but for other stuff. Works on pots. No, I'm saying like...
No, the Mishnah says, Al HaMazon Mevarech L'Achar. That's all it's... Mazon doesn't say specifically bread. So arguably it could be in Shalosh as well, which is most of what people eat. And I'm going to spill the beans on something. What bracha afana do you make on water? You do. But there were many Amara who did. Many Amara didn't make any bracha. We're going to see in... What's that?
Yeah.
You'll see that, over the generations, they started to add stuff where you make foreign fashions. But it wasn't the given that there was any, we'll see this in the series, any bracha achrona, if it wasn't main shalosh or bracha samasa. It's not clear, there was, in the Talmudic period, certainly, and even most in the Maram, it's not clear anybody was making, they talk about achar of a lo klum, no bracha afterwards, and lo klum might really, once at the time, have been lo klum. So when you say Baruch Acharav, it could be in the Mishnah's terms, any Baruch Acharav could have been Doraisa if you accept the Shita of the Gonim and many Vishonim. And if it wasn't Doraisa, it didn't exist. So that is very possible. But Lachanav is going to be the question. Okay, the Tzlach, which I don't want to read through the whole Tzlach, it's a lot of fun. And I think I may have left off one little piece of the Tzlach that I wanted. But the question of the issue remains. Svara is Daraisa. So, anytime there's a Svara, it's a Daraisa. So, is it in the Tzlach? I didn't see it, but do I leave off the piece in the Tzlach?
Presumably, it would depend on what principles your Svara is starting from.
But there is nothing about that in the Tzlach.
What? There is, I just don't know if it's on.
It's on the
Tzlach. Yes, so the Tzlach points out that you can't learn a mitzvah from Svara. He says you can learn a din, which of course I know that's not very helpful to you. What's the difference between a din and a mitzvah? So the din that he cites is the svara, I believe, of migo. The Gemara wants to learn a migo from the pasuk of SBT last week's parsha. So something to know in shiur. It's always this week's parsha, last week's parsha, next week's parsha. It just works out that way. Especially if last week's parsha was Kiseta. SBT nosaki lo isha zeva yisrael. So, SBT, it's a pesha asa pesha here. He says, SBT nosaki, she's now a suet to everybody in the world because she said, I'm married by Daroah. Then he says, lo isha zeva, she's luteris to him. That's a pesha asa pesha here. So the Gemara asks the question, which is kind of like amigo. It might be amigo, might be a little different. The Gemara asks the question, what do you need a pasuk for? It's a son. You understand? The Svara is, why would he lie? Just, if I want it to be believed that my daughter's married to this guy, don't say anything, and she's luteris to this guy. So why? That's the Gemara's assumption. That's not a new mitzvah. He's called it a din. The way I would explain the difference is that you can't learn a new mitzvah, but if you're learning a detail within a mitzvah of how it's supposed to be carried out, that can be learned from Svara. So a pesha asa pesha hitir is a din in nemanus of edus, right? What is the standard edus required to establish a din? There are psukim that say, first day, al pi shnayim edim, o al pi shlosha edim, yakum davar, al pi shnei edim, o shlosha edim, yimas ames, and ed echad is the darshan, l'chol avon, l'chol chatas, l'yakum echamesh chavat, but become peshua. So there are all sorts of things so those are psukim. But Nemanos, the reason why the Torah says that you need to aid them is because otherwise it's not trustworthy. What if there's a compelling reason to know that the person is telling the truth, like a Pesach, Pesach, Pesach? So you don't need a Pesach for that, you can learn from Svara. You can't learn the whole concept of Eidos, you know, and its formalities from Svara, that you need a Pesach for. So, if you say that the entire Drasha in this Gemara has been discarded, and we're just saying there's a Svara you have to make a Birchas Hananin, so clearly, Berachas Hananin has to be the Rabbanus. You can't just make up a new din. Okay, we come along. Nobody's ever heard of Bracha Lishona. We're going to tell you you have to make Hamotzi, you have to make Hathor Grace, you have to make a Bar Per Adam, you have to make a Bar Per Adam, you have to make a Shahato, you have to make a Rimuzalis. Why? Because it's a Svara. That's a Dirt Rabbanus. That's a little bit difficult. But for Rabbeinu Hanano, it's worth noting, and I want to go in a slightly different direction this. For Rabbeinu Hanano, it's worth noting that if you have Sukkim that teach you the obligation of making a bracha lishona on Shivas Aminim afterwards and before, then one could conceivably argue that the svara can be extended to all other foods. The Torah mentions these foods, so as a bin and ab, you could explain these foods are a little bit different, but the svara dictates that, you know, that also la adam lehanas l'anam zebuli bracha, and you see that from the fact that the Torah is mechayiv bracha on these things that it mentions. So the svara allows you to extend it. A classic pinyanav says, well, you can just say that the Torah only mentions by this kind of a din, so maybe it only applies to that kind of a din. But here there's a compelling svara as to why it shouldn't only apply to dates and to figs and to bread, but rather it should apply to all foods. The answer is also la adam lehanas l'anam zebuli bracha. Now I think there's another way of going about this, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan, which is why I introduced them in Chaschinah, but I want to go in a little bit of a different direction. What we deal with in the Gemara is we have a whole elaborate drasha based upon Ravai. And the Gemara at the end, the way most Rishonim read, says, failed, doesn't work. So it's a Svara, and therefore we assume it's the Rabbanan. Leaving aside whether it's the Rabbanan or the Raisa, really, they went through all of that just... And tell me something. Really? That's such a great drasha. Hilulim, very clever. Hilulim is a bracha. Kodesh Hilulim Hashem. It's a bracha Rishon. Is that really crazy? Is that really an asmata? Why did the Torah give us the mitzvah of Ravai?
According to whom?
According to you. Well, let's start. What precedes Ravai?
Orla.
What's the message of Orla?
That the land doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God.
So it doesn't belong to you, it's God's. Ravai, the fourth year comes along, what do? You bring it to Yerushalayim. It's Kodesh and Hashem, you get to eat it. And then finally, you're again indicating this really belongs to God. In the fifth year, what do?
Yeah,
get to eat. So what have you done there? You've made a bracha on the fruits of the tree. not the bracha from the bracha's book with, but the bracha book. You in effect have acknowledged God's ownership over everything, over the produce, whereas for 3 years, and God is very nice because most trees planted from seed don't produce much in the first 3 years, leaving aside the Ramban's scientific explanation, which is interesting in its own right, but not so much relevant to us. And then the fourth year, you have to eat it before God, which is an acknowledgement that this is really God's. It has kedushas. The way we pass in, Ravai is not Mamun Bayim. You can't be Mekadish, you know, if you put your profile to why you connect, you need a shidduch. And now you're ready to get married, and you decide you forgot the ring, so you just find some Netha Ravai lying around, and you're going to give it to the Kala. So it doesn't work. The kedushas not on you, like Maisa Sheni. It's Mamun Gavala. You get to eat it, but it's Mamun Gavala. Midrabanan, you do. The fifth year, finally, you get it's holy. But you're basically the whole mitzvah screams. It belongs to God, and only after you made the bracha, which is coming to eat the Ravai foods, now the whole message, the idea you praise God, the Hebrew limb, right? The pshat may not be a bracha, but the concept that you bring the food to Yerushalayim, and it's a celebration that you're finally getting to the fruits of the tree, which you couldn't eat the first 3 years because God said no. Now you're allowed to eat it. That is your bracha.
By that logic, what would it be not your brachas at all? If we're praising each individual tree as it comes up, then haven't we already acknowledged all the trees from that tree that belong to God?
Midoraisa, I agree. Midoraisa, there's no chiyuv to make brachas on that. But the reality is, lots of times people can't go to Yerushalayim to ravai. None of us have ravai. So, and you don't encounter that on a daily basis. So the whole point is the message of ravai, the svara of ravai. Ravai is doraisa. But all they've done is they've taken that svara and they've extracted it. And that's what the Gemara means. After you've gone to survive, okay, yes, it's derech hasmachta. You can't really extrapolate from that. But it's a svara. Asa la'olam mehanas la'olam. So we bracha. You're not allowed to. And how do you know? Because that's exactly the message of ravai. Does it matter that ravai is only by fruits? Some say only a carrot. No. That's because this was a common thing. This is how Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us the idea that before you consume food, you have to pay your due. I think it's obvious that that's the message of the mitzvah, and I think that's what the Gemara is in the Maskana. So at the end of the day, even if it's asmachta, the entire sugya fundamentally stands because it really is being learned from ravai. If it's a derabanan, which it's probably according to this explanation, the yisod of the din derabanan is rooted in the deraisa. And here I think you could certainly understand that with Ram Rosh Hashanah, that asmachtas are quasi deraisas. Right? Because the whole lesson of this is, Boaz notwithstanding the fact, well, you did it unnaturally, right? The whole lesson is, it's because it's yours, it belongs to you. Okay, so let's read quickly. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't quite say it that way. He says it differently. Let's read the Sefer Chinuch. Thank you, Boaz. Brian, you can take over. Read slowly, please. Okay, so this is not quite the same thing. It's a little bit in that direction. The beginning part is much closer to Ram suggesting, but then the purpose is, the end result is, the Hosif Lachem Tevuasa. The reason why he says, That's what he says. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question. This is a machshava question. You're probably going to hear this thing from me many times. If I'm correct, though, that the purpose is to remind that it belongs to God and you need a bracha before you can eat it, what is the connection to the next pasuk of Vashana Hamishis Tokhlos Priyola Siflachem Tavosa? Why is that Lo Siflachem Tavosa? I mean, other than if you obey God's word, you get more sar. I mean, that could be. It's for the sefer chinuch. So it's actually, this is part of the deal. You bring these fruits and you praise God over it, and you receive in exchange the shefa habrach. But what I'm suggesting is that simply is an acknowledgement that this food really belongs to God. And now I'm finally being allowed to eat it. Why is it lahusif lachem to asai? It's not a shalach hamishas. Okay.
So it's like,
very good. Wow. That is excellent. I wasn't even going to quote that Mishnah. That is excellent. Baruch Shekivanta or Baruch Shekivanta. Very good. So, excellent. The whole point is, Jake said, nailed it on the head. I think. It's a psychological function. If you look at the fruits that are growing and you view them as yours, so you're not, you don't have that sense of gratitude and feeling good that you even have that. And therefore, it's often never enough. But if you look at the fruits that grow and you realize, by right, they're not even mine, I don't deserve this, and I'm lucky enough to have this, the very same amount of fruits to two different people have a totally different effect. For you who recognizes that this isn't really mine, and it belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I've been given ownership over it, finally, for me, it's Hosif Lachem Tavuasa. But without Rabbi, when the fruits grow, I think, well, they're mine. And then when I think I should have more fruits in this, they don't grow, well, I feel that I've been cheated of what I'm really entitled to. There is a beautiful chasam sofer. There's a beautiful chasam sofer in his Perush al HaTorah. It's somewhere in Vayikra, but I don't remember what the pasuk that it's on. But he talks about the drasha of Aser B'Shil Shetisasher. Right, Aser Kaser is called Tvasar Echa. That's 2 weeks ago, Slash. 3 weeks ago. So what does it mean, Aser B'Shil Shetisasher? So we always read it as, well, if you do the mitzvah, right, the Ishish Kadashav Lo Yiyu, that if a person doesn't separate Maisos, then the Maisos they should have given is all that's going to grow next year. So on the other side, Aser B'Shil Shetisasher. You give Maisos, you'll get more produce. So the Chasam Sofer points out that there's another drush as well, which was Asher B'Shil Shalot Tizchaser. Separate Maisos so you won't lose. So as I understand the Chasam Sofer, he understands that this is really the same thing. He quotes a Medrash from Medrash Rabbah from Koheles that Ein Adam Meis V'Chatzi Tavaso B'Yada. People, by the time they died, they never even fulfilled, acquired half of their desires. Yesh Lo Mana wrote some assign. He's got 100. He thought if I had $10 million, I would feel so wealthy, grateful, be happy, content, do things. I made $10 million. Now all of a sudden you want $20 million. He said the real bracha, aser b'shvil shetisasher, the bracha of osher, is someone who's sameach b'chelko, someone who becomes wealthy and the wealth satisfies them, instead of the mechasidim, because now this person, you know, if you have $1 million and you want two, you're only lacking $1 million. But if you have $10 million and you want 20, you're lacking much more. So that's what I think it means. That's the message of Arlan Ravai. You acknowledge that it's not really mine. It belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's by his good graces that I am allowed now to eat it. But in the fourth year, I come and I bring it through Shalayim to acknowledge and say, I say to the Avish, this is yours, thank you so much. Next year, I get to eat, but I will appreciate that so much more than someone who just thought that he was entitled to it. Shkoyach. Very good. Okay. So that's why I think that this sukkah actually is, it doesn't reject the body of the sukkah. The svara that asal adam lehama samala zebli bracha is actually what the entire sukkah taught you, what the entire sukkah of Ravai taught you. That's the whole message of the mitzvah Ravai, that asal adam bracha, because that bracha is to acknowledge that everything you have doesn't really belong to you. In the choshen mishpat sense it does, but in the moral spiritual sense it doesn't. There's a famous passage that I've quoted many times, so if you've listened to any of my shiur on this particular topic, is a tour in Hilchos Tzedakah, where the tour, it's very unusual. There's one siman, the first siman, there are, firstly, Tzedakah is halacha. I'm not telling you what the shiur is halacha, but there are Hilchos Tzedakah. It's not in kosher mishpat, because then, of course, lots of from Jews would ignore it. It's in Yeri Bidah, it's in the Heter. It's like trace food, and avelus, and nida, and shchita, and so on. And the first simon the Torah dedicates just to Agada, the Agada of Tzaka. Highly unusual. I don't know that there's another case. Torah may have a couple of words of introduction. His Hakdamos, Hosher Mishpat, all the Hakdamos, he talks homiletically in many ways. But an entire simon dedicated just to Agadas related to Tzaka, Rashkaf of Tzaka. And the Torah says there that when a person is giving money, Tzaka, they shouldn't say, a person shouldn't say, Ech Echsa Mimamoni Litno Lanim. You shouldn't say that, how can I do it? You know, I used to have more money in my bank account. Now my net worth has gone down. And he says, no, you don't think that way, because you have to look at your money as if it's not yours. Look at it as if the Ribono Shalom is a grantor. You are just a trustee on the trust. And it is true. I mean, I've never actually been in that position, but it's pretty obvious. If you are a trustee who works for a foundation, and you don't give the money, a wealthy person gave the money, and your instructions are to distribute it in the following rules. It doesn't hurt you. It's not hard for you to write the checks and sign them and give them to the organization, to the people. Why? Because it's not your money. Right? It's very easy. It's very easy to spend other people's money, by the way. That I think everybody understands. Right? I guarantee you that when someone's treating you to a meal in a restaurant, most of us, someone's treating you to a meal, your eyes on your extent of the menu you're willing to look at is broader than when you're paying for the meal itself. Then you tend to, you tend to look a little narrower range. It's very easy to spend somebody else's money. And when you give stuff to other persons, that's the way you're supposed to look at it, because fundamentally your property is not your own. So that's what I think the message of Revival is, and that's what I think the way to understand the Gemara, that is the Svara. In which case, whether it's Daraisa or Drabanan, the Pnei Yeshua's question falls away. This is in the category of the Tzlach. I don't want to say it's a din, but the Svara is emerging directly out of the mitzvah. Ronnie?
I was going to say it sounds like it's a last warning when Christian approaches, right? Lest they
It's the theme of Sefer Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu goes over this. The idea of Pento Chalva Savata and Ramba Avecha Shachtesh Avekecha is the exact same thing over and over and over again. And it's over. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's. If you want it, Moshe Rabbeinu no fewer than four times explicitly makes the connection between becoming wealthy and forgetting God. There's nothing I think that is repeated more often than that, other than the Zachar Tov Tevet Ayusim at the time. Al Kein Rami Tzav Chalsis Zavarazah. Those two things. So I think it's very clear. Very, very good. Okay. Any questions so far? And I just want to make one comment about Talmud Torah, which is that I thought this Masechta, when last time we shooted it, probably 16, 17 years ago, something like that. And I thought this Sugya, but I never realized this when I thought this Sugya. Right. So the second time around, I'm doing it, I see much more than the first time around, I see anything. So, that was very nice. That was very good also, not because you got it, because you managed to put it in one sentence in a nutshell. Well done. Alright. Let's continue on now to, I want to expand on the idea of what is behind brachos. And a number of you, as I've mentioned, had trouble with the Kal Vachomer. Only the Ritva takes a shot at why the Kal Vachomer, again, and Rabbeinu Chanan says the Kal Vachomer is good. Everybody else essentially rejects the Kal Vachomer. So why do you reject the Kal Vachomer? So the Gemara earlier didn't reject this Kal Vachomer, meaning within brachos from Achronos Rishona. It rejected the bracha, the Kal Vachomer, from Birchas Hamos, and afterwards the Birchas HaTorah before. Now, one thing you can say about that, let's read that sugya very quickly. Let's first read that sugya. You were reading it, Brian? You can read a little further. Hold on. Just in the Gemara. I can't turn my pages. So. Go ahead. Time. There's a break. Right? Oh, I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. That's the Hadar. Okay. Now that one, that's a strange, how do you know that the teacher should Birchas HaTorah? I heard somebody in Seder discussing this. I don't know if it was Boaz and Rani. How does the teacher Birchas HaTorah? So Rashi describes Kishava Moshe Lefkoch B'Divrei Shira Aban HaNisrael Ani Avarech Tzidav Atem Anu Achar Amen Kishem Hashem Echem B'Vracha Atem Havu Godel Alei Lokeinu B'Amen. So that's important to the Gemara in Yom, but how does that teach you you need to make a bracha before you study Torah? You're very close. Maybe you're saying the right, the correct thing. How do you know that there's a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah? What's the makar? So that's the makar. So the question is, how is that the makar? So there's a machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban. I may have it backwards. I think the Ramban says that the entire Torah is referred to as a Shira. You know what the Rambam says? And therefore it's referring to the Torah, not Shira Sazina. But the other one says, you know what they say? That it's referring to Shira Sazina. But since you can't write only one part of the Torah, you have to write the entire thing. Right? You have to write a paper. Therefore, that's how you get the mystic Shira Sazina. I'm not making that up. You're making it funny, but it's true. So, I don't know. I don't know if this is the makar for it, but there's Moshe Rabbeinu about the Shira Sazinu. That's Birchas HaTorah. According to that Shita, the Shita that says that Kisul HaNashira Zos is this Shira. It's a Pshat, it's certainly that way, but in the Drasha, that's the makar, Shira Sefer Torah. If you see Shira Sazinu as the extension of the entire Torah because of that, so I may be a hopeful on my part, but it's an odd kind of a pasuk. Now, I will say, and we're not really exploring this topic now, is Birchas HaTorah the Raisa the Rabbana? I know it's a very strange question for me to ask. What? Thank you, Boaz. Didn't it just say it's a daraisa? And that was probably puzzling the Ramban the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam has two parts. He has the Hasagos on the Rambam itself on the 613 mitzvahs saseh and losaseh, and at the end of each section, the mitzvahs saseh and losaseh, the Ramban enumerates those mitzvahs that the Rambam left out according to him. The most famous one is probably Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But, less famous, but important, is Birchas HaTorah. Ramban says, Rambam left out Birchas HaTorah. And it should be, because they're right, as the Gemara says here. The Rambam does not assume it was a Torah. Those who wanted to, I forget who wanted it, some wanted to say, oh, the Rambam holds it's a chedek of Talmud Torah, the Rambam holds Birchas HaTorah, the Rabban, and it's a shir for, in my opinion, it's a shir for a different time. But bottom line is, reading it, the Gemara simply, it sounds like it's Daraisa. But looking at the Drasha, it sounds like it's Tasmachta. The Drasha really sounds like Tasmachta, but it's a Machlokas Rambam and Rabban with the Birchas HaTorah is the Daraisa. Okay, so, and by the way, the Nafkamina is, what if you're not sure whether you made Birchas HaTorah? And the way we're going to pass it, if Shulchan Aruch will pass it, if you're not sure, what do you do? Be careful here. Right? Well, I don't know if anybody says that. Yeah, you could. Let's say it's Yidav in the Rebbe. Right? But the truth is, how anybody can say you're not Yotzei with Avarava when it is Mamish Birchas HaTorah. Right? It is like an elaborate form of HaTorah. I know the Sugya, I know the issue of learning afterwards and so on. But let's say you didn't. Let's say you want to learn now, and you don't learn Torah. I don't know if we would say it's us if you learn Torah now. But certainly, let's say you're davening already. You didn't have that in mind. You make just one bracha. We make two or three brachas. It's not focus. We show them how to count. You know, a sherekin shanta saw something the reisara a harev na. And that it may be that the vav. It could be that vav depends upon whether it's two or three brachas. This is a machlokes. But you wouldn't make this. You would just say the last bracha. Shebacha banu mikamnas asel. Because even if bracha satar is the raisa, it's only one bracha that's sufficient to raisa, to fulfill the raisa obligation. Okay, go ahead. Okay, what does that mean? Well, here it means clearly that you make a bracha achrona after food because you were nene, but not after Torah. Now, I know some people are really nene because they would say in the world of this matter, she said, you got so much chanoah from it. But that's obviously not the Hana that the Gemara is referring to. What is the Hana referring to here? Hedonic pleasure. I hope that's not too fancy a word. Hedonistic. You got hedonic pleasure from it, and therefore, maybe that's why you have to make a bracha afterwards. Torah, you got spiritual pleasure. Not the same thing. No, sorry, but the Gavaldiku of Chaim just doesn't save you the same way as a Chalemio. It just doesn't work that way. So, what's that?
No.
Try living on the Chaims and not eating.
I did, but what?
Right, so the Gemara's point is that physical hana is of a different nature, and therefore you cannot bring a raya from Birchas HaTorah. From Birchas HaMazon might demand a bracha afterwards, because the physical pleasure, maybe it's survival, physical pleasure is a different animal than any spiritual hana. By the way, the Gemara tends to assume that burning or chayim is not misameach, right? The reason why, in other words, especially depending on who you are, right, the idea that a hard sugya, you know, could be considered, you know, there are nitios towards saying that hard sugyas might be mutter, you know, when you're in avelos because it causes you tsar now. And the question is tsar now versus simcha later. That's its own sugya. That's that. What is the expression something like hasman? It comes up in Hilchos Chol HaMoed. You know, it's meitzar achshav v'sameach la'achar zman. Right? That's, I think, the way you would describe learning Torah, is a little bit meitzar achshav and sameach la'achar zman. Right? Certainly, when you're breaking your head on the first part of the process, you're not happy. Maybe when you get to the maskana, you're happy. But when you're eating nefilim, you know, every bite is a bite of joy. I mean, I forgive me if somebody said they're a vegetarian, right? My apologies. You're from So, what would it be? What would be the choice food? What would be the thing you would mouth with water over? Fine, no problem. Yes, okay. That is perfect. I'm sorry. Okay, so the point is that every bite you get, every bite of that incredible tofu, you are enjoying, right? When you get to Olam Haba, you're going to eat from the Lidya Sun, right?
Yeah, but it's not the tom of the food that you're saying the bracha on, right? Is it not so there?
Are you clear? The point is that you're getting hana, that's the hana, and you eat the hana, which is a certain point where you're saving. But it's a different experience than tom of the
Well, it's tangential, but are there other physical
hanos
that we say
brachos on?
Right?
Reach.
Fine.
That may not be necessarily. That may not be. But you, I mean, yes, maybe yes, maybe no. What's that? And I will say that. What other hanos would you have in mind?
If you get a massage, it feels good. Like,
do you like move yourself with oil?
So, there is a bracha. Is it borisha only if you smell it? Borisha and
arif.
There's
also ones for like seeing a very grand natural one.
Correct. So I was about to say that, and for many of us, it can evoke a certain kind of awe. I don't know. I mean, it's enjoyable, yeah. But it's a little but different. Yeah, those are regarded as a berachas hashavach. Yes, but I was thinking along those lines. There is a because I will tell you, aesthetic hana is treated as hana and berachas avodazara. I don't know if I mentioned this recently. I don't remember where. You're not allowed to go into forgetting about going into a church, a base of avodazara's also. You're not even stood on the outside. You're not allowed to observe the art because you're being manet from it. You're not allowed. You know the way the Shulchan Aruch passed, and the Isser on Reach Mara and Kol Avodah is an Isser Hana Dafka Lechetza. So according to the Shulchan, you know, also the Shmuel Tzeishir Shalilim, doesn't mean you can't study church music. You can't listen to the church organ when it's being played because it's a Klei Shari Shal Avodah Zarah. It's a Mishar Se Avodah Zarah, and you're being nene, you know, aesthetically from the cult. So there is such a thing, which I could see a little. I mean, like, but let's say you're not nene from thunder or lightning. That's awe. But when you see the Rocky Mountains, you know, that's like, wow. Right. So, Abba?
Yeah, I guess this is also slightly tangential, but like, with regards to the church thing, what does that mean? Like, can you
for one, you should skip Westminster Abbey, like looking to be a part.
Yes. Yep. Skip the Sistine Chapel. Yep. That's an interesting, that becomes a more interesting question, what the status of the outside is. If it's the chapel, probably yes. If there were a building next to the chapel, it might be a different story. But the chapel itself, for sure, yeah. You see it, but you shouldn't, stare to admire. Yes. If someone took a picture of it, you can look at the picture. That's fine. The picture is no longer the chazza. But yes.
Would you like to listen to a recording of like church music?
Let's not go farther afield. That's interesting, but a different discussion.
Sure,
okay. So anyway, so bottom line is the Gemara says Shekane Nenet. That is, now, the Ritva adopts that line, explains why the Gemara said, he says that's why it's a Talmud from a Pricha. Now that's not what the Gemara was talking about there. The Ritva is taking the logic of the Gemara and he is doing something else to it. What is the Ritva saying here? In other words, if you're eating food, your nin is a bracha afterwards, is a bracha before. So what's wrong with the, why can you say ma la bracha for a shekane nin? It has to mean something different. What does it mean? Shimmy?
Have you just gotten
nin? It's the past tense of the verb. You were already nin. When you make a bracha rishona on food, it's not because you are feeling physical hana. You are not. Because the food is in front of you, you are looking at it. Adarabah, it invokes pain. It's just that if you're about to eat it, that pain dissipates very quickly. But if I make you look at the food, that's actually quite uncomfortable. So when you make a bracha rishona before eating food, it's not giving thanks for the hana. It's got to be something else. And arguably, the Gemara here has told you what that other thing is. It's not an anticipatory Hana Bracha. What is it? How would you describe it? What? I would call it Mithilas Rishus.
Yeah, it's recognition.
It's pidyon. It is like pidyon. It's analog. Is pidyon if you want to eat Ravai or go to Shalayim eating the Ravai. Right, it's acknowledging God before you eat the food, but it's not. I mean, I thought it was. It's not bad. The word "please" is in Rabbi Berman in the Shir when one of the people on here please and thank you. I think that's close to on the mark. Right? But I think, the way Dobie said, it is like the pidyon. It is what renders the food permissible to you. It's not really. It could. There may be a theme of gratitude. But really, if you see, you've been stranded on a desert island and you see the boat coming, you are very grateful only on the condition the boat actually arrives. Right? The boat doesn't get there. It's an anticipatory gratitude on the one hand that you feel. And there is an element of gratitude. Now, the question one might ask is, if you were to take it from the gratitude angle, why would it not be, why, it would seem to be a good kal vachomer. Right? If when you're not hungry anymore, it could be a good kavachomer. Mm-hmm. If you're not hungry anymore and you have to be grateful, then if you are still hungry, you certainly have to be grateful. Now, one of you came and said to me, I don't understand that kavachomer. I do understand that kavachomer. That's so strange, no? When do you express greater gratitude? After you benefited or before you benefited?
After, obviously.
Yeah. Except that you have to think about how we work as human beings. Again, it's a psychological issue. Which is that people often, you before somebody does something for you, you have a great sense, when they're about to do it, you're so, the tow truck operator comes and he pulls up and he's starting to work on your car. And the first thing you say to him is, thank you so much. And then he tows you to the shop, he says goodbye, you pay him, have a nice day. And you say thank you again. But you see him the next day, what do you say? What have you done for me lately? There's a human tendency to be that way. That's the mashal that Rashi quotes a little bit, about the child, their mother's story, God does this, God does that, and then people forget what those people did for that. So there is a kind of intensity of gratitude that exists when you're about to be saved. You know you're going to be saved, that Yeshua has shown up, that this will dissipate over time. That's the way most human beings work, even if it doesn't happen immediately. So it could be that the Kal Vachomer from the gratitude angle makes sense, because I'm sated already. Okay, you know what? Thank you. They do something nice for me. But I don't feel it quite as deeply as when I was hungry and I was waiting for the food. That may be what could drive the Gemara's Kal Vachomer. Problem, the argument against it is, who says that the bracha before is really about gratitude? It is maybe about gratitude, but it's also about netilas rishos. And if it is, the bracha achrona brings no raya to the bracha rishona, because the bracha achraya is about hanoa shekeinena. The bracha rishona is about netilas rishos. Lewis.
Is it important for the emphasis on gratitude and that angle from the fact that, like, you can't say the bracha and then sort away for tomorrow and come back to it? It's just like adding, bringing it into your shoot, so to speak. Like, if you do that, you could, like, just eat it the next day, right?
Again, it's not a perfect analogy. Listen, if you want to argue that the two aspects to the bracha rishona and the gratitude piece requires that, then you can make that argument. Yeah. Yes, Shimon?
The bracha rishona is about the tefillah reshus. Why does it say that in the bracha rishona?
Well, if the tefillah reshus, just like the nether ravai, you eat it, but you bring it to Yerushalayim as a way of saying, this, you are the one who created this and has given it to me, and it's really yours. So bracha tashem, I'm born for it, who's the one who created it? Yes, Jake.
It sounds like Rashi definitely does the gratitude angle. In this case, you know,
the Shvarah. Which Rashi?
Svarah. I'm not a guy.
Mm-hmm. One second. I'm looking at
the place. I can't represent it, so you have to look at the Shvarah.
Yes.
That doesn't sound so sick.
There's no question there's a gratitude piece in it, but the question, the challenge is, according to Rashi, so Rashi's interpretation maybe can work in the Gemara right now, when the Gemara just says, Asa la'adam lehanas amena olam, she'enam olam below bracha. Okay, that fits with the word hana. What the Gemara, we're going to stop here, where the Gemara is now, we have to read on in the Agadah, it seems like the Agadah presents a very different kind of angle. Right? When it once it starts to talk about Ni'ilah and the dress of Shemayim Shemayim Hashem, this seems to be that material for Shusan who it belongs to. But yeah. But you're correct. At this stage in the Gemara, you can still argue the Hana angle still works. Boaz?
I mean, Rashi even in that suggestion still seems to think it's more not as like a physical act of Geneva and conduct as well. He says the Geneva is on the bracha, it's not an actual object.
Which Rashi are you referring to?
Rashi of goes to the vertical on one hand.
Yeah.
He
steals the brachas.
He's stealing the bracha, you're not stealing the food. Which seems to also kind of look like gratitude kind of thing.
Okay, now I hear what you're saying there. Because the Gemara, again, Rashi can say that because the Gemara, that Gemara just says Gozel, doesn't say, right, so it doesn't say what, but when you talk about Me'ilah, Me'ilah is a din of the Chavza. So, okay, any other questions? If I am. How much can you divorce Bracha Rishona? Maybe Birchas HaMitzvos, which might be in the Tzilas Rishos. In the Rav's comment, it sounds like that may sound like that's the Rambam, the Birchas HaMitzvos Amatya. And there, it's not Hanoah in the classic sense. Yes, but when you read the Rambam, I believe, and this, I don't know if the Rav pointed this out in the Tathas Rambam or generally, that Birch Samitzah might be a Matya. So that's the model of, and that's not how the Rambam thinks reads Birch Sahara. We've spoken about that. The Rambam is totally from the standing Birch Sahara. But he may have Birch Samitzah modeled like Birch Samitzah, which is a Matya. And there you can say it's the Hanah Drive. Again, it's not necessarily going to be only one idea. Both themes may exist within it. Okay.